The Councillor Hull, I'll ask you, since you have two motions, you're the author of two motions this evening. The potential property acquisition one, do you want to deal with that first, get it out the way, or do it after the other?
I'm happy to go with the order of business. It should be expedited, straightforward.
Right. So do you mean have deputations, have that motion, then the Australian
Day
motion?
Well, if you wanted to do the deputations and then do the Australia Day motion, that would be
That's what makes more sense. With leave of the meeting, I would swap the order of the two motions with notice so that we deal with the Australia Day motion first and then the property acquisition one. So, councillors, we have two deputations. Mr. Michael Lang, I'm not sure how it's pronounced, but something like that. And we also have, secondly, Auntie Dorcas Miller, Ms. Rose Miller, Mr. Robert Miller. Each of you has the option of 5-minute deputation. Mr. Lang, did you want to say something? That's absolutely fine. So, we'll take them in the order in which they came as requests to council. So, Mr. Lang, would you like to come forward, please? So, we'll have someone explain how to speak into the microphone. You have a 5-minute maximum. If you wish to leave time for questions from councillors, then you might want to finish a bit early. We'll give you an idea of the time running out. But yeah, please sit up the front here. Over to you.
Thank you. Mr. Mayor and councillors, I'd like to thank you for giving me the opportunity to address your meeting. I'm not a public person, so believe me, I'm rather a private person, but I feel so strongly about what's being raised and some of the issues that are happening in our community that I feel I have to speak up. First, I'd like to acknowledge that we are on Kaurna country, and I do acknowledge that and honour and respect the elders and the Kaurna community. The issue about Australia Day, I have read the motion, but this is for, and I think this issue is for all of us, Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal, everybody in Australia. It's not just for one particular group. But I think we've got to start somewhere in this discussion. But also, first, I'd like to acknowledge at this point in time the courage of Mr. Bruce Hull, at the very least, regardless of his views or whatever. It takes a lot of courage, I think, sometimes to be able to stand up against sometimes seems like a wave of dissent or whatever you want to call it. And I think history has shown there are lots of cases where there have been individuals who've showed extreme courage and have changed the course of history. Not necessarily it's going to happen here, but I'm just saying that it has happened, and I do respect that courage, individual courage. I'm not here to tell you what to do, but my wishes for you is to hold an informed debate about the issue. I think in many instances, especially dealing with Aboriginal issues, there's a lot of ignorance. Now, it doesn't mean, I always say to somebody, you might be ignorant, so I'm not saying you're ignorant. I think everybody's ignorant in some way because not everybody knows everything. But ignorance is something that can be very destructive, damaging, and it really can cause a lot of trouble for individuals and groups, whatever. Ignorance can be very dangerous. The reason for that is because decisions and statements are made without any knowledge, without being properly informed. And I think it's probably somewhere we're all guilty of that. But what I'm here tonight is to try and help a little bit so that the decision you make, or to guide you in the decision you make, is at least a little bit more informed than maybe what it is at the start of my speech. I'm just trying to read my own notes, sorry about this. The Aboriginal people today do feel strongly about bridge settlement and its impact, but I personally think that the issues are not so much the historical issues, which a lot of this Australia Day thing is, I think, referring to, but there are contemporary issues. And unfortunately, a lot of the contemporary issues a lot of people are ignorant about. And I think that's what is driving a lot of this distrust and anger. And this distrust and anger is fueling fires which you know, it's not doing anybody any good, the community or Australia as a whole, not doing any good. But distrust and anger has fueled the invasion fire because native title has failed in its original aim because it's been hijacked by lawyers and, believe it or not, opportunistic renegades within the Aboriginal communities. It's breaking up communities and families, and hundreds and thousands of dollars of taxpayers' money is being wasted and mismanaged in running these claims. Just revisiting a bit about the invasion, if you think about Australia, how Australia felt during World War II, I'm probably off the track here a little bit, but Australia with World War II, Australians felt very strongly about the invasions of the Japanese. There's the fear there, and of course the British were in fear of Germans taking over their country. Well, unfortunately, in contemporary native title today, the invasion, some of us don't see it as being in of the first settlement. It's happening today. And this is why a lot of non-Aboriginal people out there in the community, are just not aware of what's happening. Native title in the same, I don't need to explain about native title, I think you'll have a fair idea what native title was supposed to achieve, but it's been hijacked to the point where you've got groups that have just taken over. Sorry, I'm running out of time. I'll try and wrap it. Yeah, sure. Sorry. So, I'm from the Mooning community. The Mooning people, the Far West Coast claim, is one such case which needs to be looked at. Reconciliation between Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal could allow for Australia Day to stay where it is, but not until the government, you know, is prepared to accept its role in native title breaking up and families and communities, and helping other groups invade other people's countries. But until that happens, Australia Day will always be a painful reminder for non-Aboriginal. And just to sum it up, again, I'm not here to tell you what to do, but just to ask the Council to gain a better understanding about the underlying issues preventing constructive movement towards genuine and meaningful reconciliation. Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Lang. By the way, if any councillors do want to ask me about native title, that's probably one of the areas where I can suggest some expertise, because I did have to become an expert in federal law, state law and common law to help guide our South Australian native title legislation through the State Parliament. But thank you, Mr. Lang. We'll invite you to take your place again in the gallery. And is that one copy or many copies? If you leave that with us, I will ask staff to copy it and provide each councillor with a copy. All right, thank you. And now I'll ask Mr. Robert Miller to come forward, please. I think Mr. Miller's also from the Mooning community.
Thanks for hearing me out. My name's Robbie. The tradition of Australia Day as a national holiday on the 26th of January is just a recent one. Not until 1935 did all Australia's states and territories use that name to mark that date. It was only not until 1994 that Australia began to celebrate Australia Day consistently as a national public holiday. Day of Mourning, which was created in 1938, is only 3 years younger than the Australia Day as we know it. And it's worth noting that on the third ever National Australia Day, that protest started and that it was not, and it hasn't dissipated in the decades that have followed. The most media attention ever gained was in 1998, bicentennial year, where the phrase "White Australia has a black history," and that entered our collective consciousness. Even in 1938, on the first day, day of mourning, Australia was referred to as an anniversary of white men's seizure of our country. Before then, in the lead up to the 1888 celebration, Henry Parkes, as the Premier of New South Wales at the time, was asked, was he planning anything for Aboriginal people on Australia Day? To which he retorted, "And to remind them that we have stolen their land, seized their land." One of the things that I'd like to say, I mean, we as a federation since 1901, it's great that we are working together, not individually as states, but as a federation. But I think to some people that would be a good suggestion, but the federation, on the first thing that they did and enacted was the White Australia policy. So, but my suggestion is that don't use that date, but actually use, and this is my suggestion, there's many suggestions that come, that's why we're having this discussion, was that maybe we should use the day where the White Australia policy got repealed, where it allowed non-white people to come to Australia as well. Just short, sweet, and thank you for listening.
Motion. Now, I have some remarks to make about good governance before we commence. I have three points to make, and I really feel very strongly that it is the Mayor's role to encourage this group to work together and be as productive and beneficial to the community as possible. The first thing I'll say, and I think it was it could even be drawn from the deputations that we've had, that this is a national issue. If there's to be any redress, it's a national issue, not a local government issue. However, one of the great things about local government is that we are close to the people. Now, Mr. Lang is a resident of the city of Marion. The Millers are visiting, but they're very welcome. But we've given the opportunity for people to speak to us. Now, even though it's a federal issue, you wouldn't have that opportunity in the federal parliament, that's for sure. So we can be thankful for that. And the fact that the Australian Local Government Association has taken this up at their national conference doesn't make it a local government issue. It just discredits them as an organisation in the eyes of the community. Secondly, there's the matter of courtesy. Now, one Sunday morning, the first I heard about the motion was from a journalist approaching me for comment. Councillor Hull, a short time before, had emailed the Chief Executive with the motion, which is correct procedure, and he had then emailed it or conveyed it somehow to media outlets, at least one. And all I say is this, and it's for all councillors. Yes, Councillor Hull, you might feel it's a pointed remark, but it's really for everybody. anyone, and especially with council elections coming up in about a year's time, and people might want to move controversial motions to get a name for themselves or whatever, all I would say is this: as a courtesy to the people you work with, just let us know what you're thinking. Let us know in advance. It just helps us all prepare for what's about to unleash, and especially when there's going to be a barrage of media publicity. And not just about the issue, but it's actually publicity that reflects on the council, on the reputation of the council. So that's all I'd say, that absolutely there is no requirement to let other councillors or the mayor know when these controversial motions are coming up, but it is the courteous thing to do. Thirdly, I'd say for people that want to, when I say people, among you councillors, if you want to promote social reform or some issue that's seen as progressive or whatever, rather than dropping it first to the media, I'm suggesting that the best way to get a genuine result is to actually do the groundwork of consultation. So on an issue that is to do with reconciliation, ask the Kaurna people, talk to them first, and then possibly have a public meeting, talk to the broader community in the city of Marion next, and then bring something to council if indeed it is the place for the issue. It's just the most effective way of getting real reform, rather than dropping it as a media issue. And we all know that the media will have an interest in these things, but unfortunately, because of the compression of information in media reporting, you get a distorted, glib view of what's happening. So I've had a lot of people over the last few weeks ask me, what's your council done? Or what's your council doing? And I've explained, it's a notice of motion from one councillor. That's at that stage, and up to this stage, that's all it is. So it's very easy for people to get the wrong impression. But I do believe that if the groundwork is done, then there's a better opportunity to build a real understanding of the issue. So I make these remarks not to influence the debate, but genuinely to improve the governance around this place. Okay, Councillor Hull, you have a motion to move.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Twice now you've taken the liberty to poo-hoo motions before I've had the chance to move them. And I think that around Adelaide at the moment, the lack of leadership from some mayors is of concern, particularly in Tea Tree Gully. Mr. Mayor, this meeting you actually passed a Kaurna acknowledgement, welcome to land, offered. We as a council are doing a lot of things. We were the first council to fly the Aboriginal flag in South Australia, regardless of what the City of Adelaide says.
Councillor Appleby.
There's no seconder to the motion yet. I'm not aware there's even a motion.
I will ask, as has been our custom, if there is a seconder to the motion.
Mr. Mayor, this is the first time tonight you've done this. Why pick on this one?
Order. It has been the practice, particularly with controversial motions, to see if there's a seconder. So I uphold the point of order. Is there a seconder to the motion? I'll ask for the last time. Is there a seconder to the motion? Order. Look, there being no seconder, the motion lapses for want of a seconder.
Well, if I can actually have a grievance about this, please.
Do you want to raise a point of order?
Yes.
Well, just a sec. Councillor Westwood, have you got a point of order? Not a comment, but a point of order.
Probably not strictly a point of order, but close.
Well, I'll soon rule you out.
May I say first that the practice has been for almost all motions that I've experienced so far that we move, then we have a discussion, then we have a seconder. Not that I believe that that's a reasonable process, but that's the way it's been going. I really do think that this particular motion should be handled the same way.
Right. Well, it is a point of order because you're saying that Councillor Hull should be allowed to speak and then test for a seconder. I think we've established that there is no seconder, so it's really only an indulgence from Councillor Hull if he continues. But technically, the point of order is correct, so I uphold the point of order. Even though there is no support for what you have to say, Councillor Hull, you are strictly entitled to continue, so please go on.
Mr Mayor, I would like to speak to the motion in the hope that I attract the seconder. That would be reasonable. And in fact, with this item, Councillor Pfeiffer moved the motion. There was no attempt to frustrate it by asking for a seconder. It just happened. So
time has started.
Looking for consistency.
Well, point of order, Your Worship.
Councillor Appleby.
There is no motion before the meeting, so there's no motion to speak.
Order. Being very technical about it, there is a motion before the meeting. There's a motion we know is not seconded, but the councillor does have the right to speak to the motion, technically. We have, in the past, adopted the practice of asking for a seconder and simply allowing the motion to lapse if there is no seconder. However, I think on the technical point, Councillor Westwood was correct, and so I'm allowing the speech. However, I pointed out it is entirely indulgent because Councillor Hull knows that there's no seconder. So I'm afraid I must overrule your point of order.
Well, I just seek some clarification. So can there be a seconder now? Because there was no seconder, so as far as I'm concerned, it's failed, and therefore it needs to be brought back at another time. I can't just go on and on and on.
Well, I'll ask for advice from Mr. White.
According to the regulations, a member can speak to a motion at moving or seconding the motion. It doesn't say that it has to be seconded before speaking. If the motion is lapsed, it can be brought back at any time. It's only if a motion is actually lost that it can't be brought back for 12 months or until the next election.
Right, so in relation to your clarification, Councillor Appleby, Councillor Hull may speak. Some of his time's already gone. That should be recorded. But he may speak, and I will call for a seconder again. So, Councillor Hull, please continue.
Mr Mayor, I'm concerned that this council has demonstrated a lack of understanding with Terra Nullius. The representatives actually picked up on that point. They really don't understand.
Order. Terra Nullius and native title are not relevant to the council's business.
Mr Mayor, Terra Nullius is the attitude people have by not acknowledging on that day when Captain Cook claimed the nation.
Terra Nullius is the doctrine that there were no people living on the continent of Australia
exactly.
When Captain Cook arrived.
Exactly.
No one here believes that, and if you're alleging that, that is offensive.
I can show you emails, Mr Mayor, that proves that. I'll show them to you later.
All right, carry on. You're using up your time.
Yeah, well, every time I try to speak, there's something happens, so... Now, Australia Day happens on the 26th of January each year. Now, the representative made the point that it was only in 1994. I'd only just been elected on this council when all the states decided on a day to celebrate Australia Day. As it turns out, some 30 years later, there's a realisation around this nation that's the wrong day. It's the day that we actually are celebrating that is considered by the Aboriginal people or the day that we invaded their country and that we've actually taken the view that there is Terra Nullius by doing that. Now, you say, and others say, we should allow this for the federal government. Well, the federal government don't celebrate Australia Day functions. We do that. We do the citizenship ceremonies as well. It is only we that actually can deal with this. If we're asking them to deal with it, they've showed their attitude with this, Mr Mayor, by actually taking punitive measures and punishing those councils in Victoria for having the audacity to indicate that this is not right.
calling it out, Mr. Mayor, this is what this is all about, calling it out, along with the Chief Minister of Northern Territory, Stefanovic from Channel 9, and lots of other people. This is not going to go away, Mr. Mayor. This is only the beginning. And, look, I have to welcome the representations of Uncle Frank Wanganine on Channel 9 when we first moved this. I'd like to acknowledge the Mirning people. This affects them as much as the Kaurna or Narrangeri or anywhere else.
The councillor's time has expired. I ask again, is there a seconder? For the last time, is there a seconder? And the motion lapses. We move to the next item of business, which is on page 17 of the agenda. Councillor Hull to move.
I move the motion as written, Mr. Mayor. I was quite surprised that we as a corporate entity hadn't been doing this anyway. I'm surprised that Jervoy Street was actually achieved at all. Obviously, somebody took time out to acknowledge that there was an opportunity. We should be doing that all the time. If we were a aged care provider, if we were any corporate entity, we would be scoping all the time. And we should be doing this on behalf of our community to look for opportunities, particularly when we have deficits of open space in certain parts of the city. We should be scoping it out and hopefully getting advice from the administration about the opportunities that might be available to us, given that we've actually got a fund to deal with that. We've got a fund set aside to actually purchase open space. If we are to live up to the rhetoric that we put into the community, that we are selling off reserves that we deem to be inefficient and underutilised because we want to value add other areas and create real practical open space, we should back that up by having somebody in the administration keeping an eye on this and advising us accordingly. So it's as simple as that. I would have thought that it's just general business practice in a corporation.
And I note the staff response that the community facilities strategy and open space plan haven't been finalised yet. Is the motion seconded? Councillor Gard, do you wish to speak?
Yes, indeed, Your Worship. I'm very passionate about Councillor Hull's motion. All as a result of direct experience when the dwelling next to the community hall of Marino car park went up for sale, and we just didn't have the lead time to do due diligence, etc. So that for me was enough for me to suggest to staff that we move into that mode. But congratulations to Councillor Hull for actually putting the motion up, because I have great pleasure in seconding it.
Opposing the motion, Councillor Valescu.
Your Worship, I'm not opposing the motion.
Question.
I'm just wondering whether it can also work the other way. For example, if there is a property on the radar that is being underutilised, that there may be the opportunity to dispose of, would we be in a position where if a nearby property was selling, that we could actually put that on the market in a similar time or make that approach, because then that would actually maximise the return for council if we don't need it, and obviously coincidentally help the other party as well.
Any manager wish to respond to the question?
Through the Chair, yes, we could certainly do that, and I think once the community facility strategy and the open space strategy is finalised, that will give council a strategic approach to those decisions.
Well, question, Your Worship, is this all covered through the community? Will this all be covered through the strategy?
It will be covered through the facilities strategy and the open space plan, which we've yet to finalise. The rhetorical question is, how can staff identify properties for acquisition if they don't have direction from the council about which facilities and which open space is critical? Anyway, Councillor Crossland.
Two questions. Just one, the first one being, would this form part of the citywide asset optimisation, because it seems to fit in with that report when we get it? And secondly, I am assuming that if we do identify potential properties for purchase, that's going to be under confidential cover,
Ms. Dixon,
for obvious reasons.
Through the Chair, first question, yes, it is related to the asset optimisation, and it would be, when we were considering particular properties, it would be considered under confidence due to the commercial nature.
Any others then for, well, there hasn't really been any discussion in opposition, but Councillor Holland, do you wish to close the debate? I'll put that to the vote. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, that's carried unanimously. I declare the meeting closed. Thank you.